Well, hey, good morning, everyone. How are we doing? Yeah, all right. We're kind of getting there. Okay. Well, I am so glad to be with you. My name is Ben. If you don't know me, I'm one of the teaching pastors here at CTR, and so good to be with you, and so good to be doing this Advent series. You know, this is the third week, as we heard earlier, and you know, the first week, we just kind of introduced this idea of what is Advent? What does it mean? And it's this idea of waiting and arrival. That there was a time where Israel was waiting for this Savior to appear. They were waiting for their Messiah. And then he came and he lived among us. And then he died and he rose again and ascended to heaven. And now we, as the people of God, we are in another season of waiting. But this season is different. Because we know, as we talked about in week one, that we serve a King who brings us hope. We talked about last week that we serve a King who brings us love, that because he came to be with us, that we can know that he loves us, that he's Emmanuel, God with us. And this week we get to talk about joy. Now, joy is a word that gets thrown around a lot at the Christmas season, and I don't know if you ever had this happen before, but have you ever made like a Christmas list? You know, maybe it looks something like this, and you know, you'd write down all the things that you wanted, and you just say, all right, these are the things that I want. And I remember one Christmas, there's all this stuff that I wanted. And it was like kind of expensive stuff. I think I remember asking for a game system. And so I was just so excited. I remember waking up on Christmas morning and I was filled with joy and anticipation. And I ran down the stairs and I saw all the presents under the tree. And I was like, all right, here we go. And so I started ripping open the presents. And then I kept ripping them open. And finally I got to the last present and I ripped it open. And it dawned on me, I didn't get everything that I asked for. I was furious. I was so angry. I was like, are you kidding me right now? And I remember somebody going, well, hey, you got a lot of things that were on your list. And I said, I didn't want some of the things or a lot of the things. I wanted all of the things. And I'm pretty sure I ruined Christmas for everybody that year. And I was just so focused on what I wanted and what I didn't get. Now, granted, this was just a couple years ago. And so, clearly it was when I was a child, and I've gotten kind of past that a little bit. Well, sometimes I still get salty about it, but you know, we can have those kinds of Christmases. And the truth was that the reason I had decided I wasn't going to be happy because I didn't get what I wanted, because my circumstances weren't lining up for me. What I expected and what I experienced weren't the same. And so I just had decided I'm not going to be happy about this. I wasn't going to be grateful about the things I did get. I was going to be upset about what I didn't get. And maybe you can relate. Maybe you had a Christmas like that where you had a list and you wanted it to be fulfilled. You wanted everything you wanted. But what's interesting is in life, we kind of have a list sort of like that. It might not be a Christmas list, but we have this list of stuff that if these things were true in our life, well, then we could be happy. It's kind of this thing that we do. We might not realize it, but most of us, if like somebody really asked us, like, hey, what would it take for you to be happy? We'd be like, well, I mean, more money wouldn't hurt, and a nicer car would, yeah, that'd be good, and if I had a better house, and, you know, if I really enjoyed my job more, if I had a better job, or, you know, honestly, if I traveled more, if I had more vacations, that would be good, or, you know what, I need new friends. I just need better friends, or I need better connections, or I need more likes on Instagram or Facebook, or I just, you know, there's all these things that if we said, you know what, if I could just have my list, if everything on my list came true, then I could finally be happy. I could finally live happily ever after. And what's interesting is sometimes we even bring our list to God. We go, God, like, if you would just do these things, if you would just make these things happen in my life, then I would be happy. And then when God doesn't give us the things that we always want, we think, okay, maybe he doesn't even care. And so I don't know if you have a list, but I know that I do. And my list, unfortunately, it's long. I have a big list. I don't want to admit that as a pastor, but I have a lot of things that I'm like, man, if I could just have all of these things come true in my life, well, then I could be happy. And, you know, we might not actively think this way. It might not be in the, you know, the conscious state of mind. But what happens is there's moments and days where things happen where we realize how much this is at play in our lives. Just the other day, Wednesday morning, I woke up. And from the get-go, I was like, okay, it's going to be one of these kind of days. It was really hard to get my son ready for school. Like, he just wasn't cooperating. And I was like, come on, buddy, we got to go. Like, all of a sudden, I'm running late. And I'm like, okay, great. So then I'm like, well, let me grab breakfast quick. Well, what I wanted to eat wasn't available. We didn't have any left in the pantry. And I'm like, Okay, all right, fine, I'll just grab something else, no big deal. And so now I'm running late, I didn't eat what I wanted for breakfast, and I finally get my son out the door, great. Get in my car, I'm driving here to the church office, and for whatever reason, I got off on the wrong exit. Not like one exit before, one exit after, like 10 exits early, I just like got off for no real reason at all. And I'm still like, I don't know why I got off there, but I did. And you know, I wasn't completely lost. It took me a second. I said, okay, I think I know how to get back. And so already I'm kind of just like in this funk, and I walk in and I'm already behind on what I needed to get done that morning. And I was just tired in all these meetings. And I bet you're just like, man, I'm really enjoying listening to this. This is really great. He should keep going with all these complaints. But I was in this funk. And what was really interesting is I was having a hard time just like getting into it and being joyful. And all of a sudden I realized, oh, this is my list at work right now. If my son would just listen, if he would just listen to the things I ask him to do, man, life would be so much easier. If the things that I wanted to eat were always in the cupboard, life would be awesome. If I would just get off on the wrong exit, that would be, well, that's a whole different issue. But if I get off on the wrong exit or the right exit, then that would be great. And if I wasn't tired throughout the day, like if all these things were true, then I could experience more joy in the day. But because they weren't, well, then I'm just going to be in a funk. And so I realized, wow, my list is at work. And, you know, I was like, okay, thanks, God. I guess I'll use that in my sermon. And so there you go. You get to have that. But that was the truth. I was struggling with this just this Wednesday. And then to top that, this morning I woke up and I couldn't find my wallet. I don't know where it is. If you have it, let me know. But I couldn't find it. And I was like, whatever, that's fine. I'll get out the door. I'll get it later. And then this morning, right before services began, I realized that I don't know where my Bible is. I've misplaced it. I don't know where it is. And so thankfully I've got these notes that I can preach from, but I won't be preaching out of my Bible like I like to do. And so I was just like, oh, you've got to be kidding me. And then I felt like, oh, here we go again. All right, well, those are the things on my list, but you know, how am I gonna deal with that when my list isn't getting fulfilled? And so what's on your list? What are the things that you say, if these things were true, if I just had these things in life, then I would be happy? And here's what's interesting. I think most of us were, you know, like, it's like, okay, so what do I do when I don't get the things on my list? Sometimes it's like, well, hey, buddy, what if I did get all the things on my list? Like, you don't know what that's like, and so maybe we would be happy if we got all the stuff on our list. Well, I want you to see a quote that comes from a theologian named Jim Carrey, and he said this. He said, I think everybody should get rich and famous and do everything they ever dreamed of so that they can see that it's not the answer. So this is Jim Carrey. I mean, he's a really funny guy, so you'd think, oh, he's happy, right? And he's got all the money and all the fame and really a lot of the things that any of us could ever want. And yet here's a man who says, yeah, I've got all that, and it's still not the answer. I'm still not happy. Or we could take someone from the Bible as an example. King Solomon. You know, we read about him in the Old Testament, and you know, here's King Solomon and all of his wealth. And I looked on wealthresult.com, and in today's money, the wealth of King Solomon would be valued at $2.1 trillion. Trillion with a T. That's more than most countries have. And so his wealth would be valued at $2.1 trillion in today's currency. So he's considered the richest man who's ever lived. And so he's got untold wealth, insane amount of wealth. He's born into the most powerful family in the world at that time. He's the son of King David. The nation of Israel is the most powerful nation where all these other kings and queens come and bow before Solomon. And he's granted this insane amount of wisdom from God. People come to him from all distant lands to hear his wisdom. And he actually got to build palaces and parks and all these things to himself. And then he built the temple of the Lord in Jerusalem. And so you would think, I mean, this is a guy who literally crossed everything off the list. He writes in a book called Ecclesiastes, and he says, there is no thing that I withheld from myself. There's no thing that I didn't do that I wanted to do. And then you know what he goes on to say? It's all meaningless. So here's a man who was, you know, in the ways of the Lord. And he did all the things that he could do. He built a temple to God, and yet he still was finding that happiness was eluding him, that he still wasn't finding joy in life. And so even the people who get everything on the list are still going, I'm not finding it. I'm still just as unhappy as the guy who's riddled with debt and doesn't have any of the stuff that's on their list. And so what do we do with that? Like, what do we do when that's the problem? And this is interesting because it's not a new problem. Since the fall, since the day that we said in the Garden of Eden, God, we're going to do it our own way, well, people have been unhappy. People have experienced sorrow and pain and difficulty, challenges. And so since the fall, we've been dealing with this. It seems to be part of being human in this world that we experience sorrows and hardships and circumstances that seek to rob us of our joy. And so this week, we actually lit the shepherd's candle. And that candle represents joy. Now, the shepherds, I want to tell you about them for a moment, because these shepherds that we meet in the Christmas story, it's interesting because they're not people of notoriety. They're not famous. We don't even learn their names in the narrative of Scripture. And they lived hard lives. Like, these weren't men that had it really easy. Actually, as shepherds back then, things were really difficult. Even compared to shepherds today, and especially shepherds in like the Midwest, you let your animals graze in a field and there's a lot of grass everywhere. Well, these were shepherds in the Middle East, in the desert. There's not grass everywhere. So they had to roam around. These were people that, it's not like they, you know, they were transient. They didn't really have roots. They had to travel all around all the time looking for grass for these sheep to eat. And it was a dirty job, you know, taking care of these sheep. And because they were roaming around, well, there was dangers that were involved with that. You know, there was the extreme weather, the really hot temperatures in the day, the cold temperatures at night, the storms that could just roll through. And more than that, there was wild animals that, they love sheep, but in a different way. And so they would seek to come and take the sheep, lions, wolves, bears. And these shepherds had to be ready at any moment to use their sling and their stone to try to take down a wild animal who might seek to take one of their sheep. Not only that, but there was people. There was these band of thieves that would go around, these people that would go and steal sheep from shepherds. And so the shepherds had to be aware of those people as well. So there was threats that would come against them all the time without warning. And so they lived dangerous lives. They lived dirty lives, and it was hard work. And then they were under oppression from Roman rule. A lot of the best land had been taken up by their new Roman overlords. And so they had to just kind of pick up the scraps. So these were men who were literally scraping by, trying to make it in life. They did not have what we would call a happy life. And yet something happens to them. They're invited into what we would call the Christmas story. They're invited into the birth of the Savior. And there's something that happens in that moment that we really need to grab a hold of today to understand this idea of joy. And so we'll go to the scriptures. You can open up in your Bibles to Luke 2 if you want. I won't be because I don't know where my Bible is. But if you have your Bibles with you, you can turn to Luke 2. Otherwise, it's going to be on the screens. And here's what it says. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they, the shepherds, were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people." So into the darkness and the frustration of these men's lives, an angel shows up and says, "Look, I've got good news, great joy for all people." Now you have to be wondering, what was going through the shepherd's mind in this moment? Now if it were me, I mean, first of all, I'd be like, wow, it's an angel, like that's kind of a big deal. But then I would go, okay, wait, what did he just say? The angel just said that he's got good news of great joy for not just some people, all people. Okay, this has gotta be some news. I mean, what is this angel about to declare to us? Hey, guess what? Today, everybody gets $1 million. You know, kind of like an Oprah thing. Like, you get $1 million, you get a, like, or maybe the angel's going to say, no, actually, everybody gets their own land. Everybody gets to be the king of their own country. All right, sweet. Or maybe the angel's like, I actually am giving you the cure to all diseases in the world, and so none of you have to suffer anymore. I mean, there'd be so many things that you would think would cause great joy to happen among all people. But let's find out what the angel has to say next. So as we continue on in verse 11, it says this. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. So there's a baby. Like, that's the good news. There's this baby. But whoa, wait, it's not just any baby. This baby is the Savior of the world. He's going to save us all. Now, if this had been anybody else besides an angel, like if it were me, I'd be like, all right, buddy, move it along. Like, call somebody about getting back on your meds and just, you know, we've got work to do. But this was an angel telling them this. And so I think they were like, okay, we should probably listen to this guy and go see what this is all about. And so I want to see and look at the shepherd's response in Scripture. So in verse 15, it says, when the angels had left them and the angels went back into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, okay, so let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart, and the shepherds returned. They returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. So the power of this moment cannot be missed. Because these men were filled with great joy. Why? See, in their worldview, this whole idea of a Messiah was really important. Because at one point, as I told you with King Solomon and King David, Israel was on top of the world. And then through just not following the ways of the Lord, their kingdom was broken up and it was overtaken by enemies. And at this point in history, their new lords were these people called the Romans. And so they were under Roman oppression. And they knew, though, that the prophets had been declaring, there is a Savior, there's a Messiah who is coming to free us. And so for them to be invited to the birth of the Savior of the world, that would have felt like a really big deal. And you would think, okay, he's probably going to be born in a palace somewhere. No, he's in a manger. Okay, that's different. But they come, and if I were a shepherd, I'd be thinking, okay, I don't know, but an angel just showed up to me and invited me to the birth of the Messiah. Like, I must be pretty special. Like, I don't know about any of these other people, but I must be something else. And you know what? I think I'm about to get an upgrade. I think I'm about to get invited into his kingdom. I think I'm going to have a special place in his house. I think I'm going to get a special job. I'm not going to have to look at sheep anymore or fall. You know? But none of that happens. They don't get any special favor. They don't get any riches. They don't get any healing or anything like that. They just come and they experience the Savior. So nothing else happens besides that, and yet they are filled with joy. They're filled with joy. It says they return. They go back to their normal everyday lives, and yet they're filled with joy. Why? Where is this joy coming from? Well, I think King David in the Psalms actually gives us a really good hint as to what is happening in the shepherd's life in that moment. And let's take a look at it. I don't want you to miss it. So in Psalm 16, verse 11, it says this, "You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. In your presence is fullness of joy. And in your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore." So in Psalm 16:11, we are told that in God's presence, there is fullness of joy. That we experience this incredible, complete, full joy when we're in his presence. That is what happened to these shepherds. They maybe didn't fully understand everything that was happening like we do today, but what they knew is something was taking place. And even though they maybe couldn't describe it or understand it, they were in the presence of the living God. And because the word says that there's fullness of joy in his presence, there is. And so when they were in his presence, they were filled with his joy. They had full joy, so much that they had to go and tell everybody. They had to tell it to everyone. And then they go back to their lives and they're praising God all the way. So this is what they experienced. Because it says that they returned. They went back to their circumstances. Their circumstances hadn't changed. They were the same. They still had these cruddy jobs, a hard life. Nothing else had changed. But their level of joy was completely different. And it's because they had experienced the Savior. Now, here's the thing. I think for most of us, our list, you know, this kind of list that we keep running in our minds of the things that would make us happy, it's not just filled with the superficial stuff, you know, like an experience or money or a better car. No, for a lot of us, there's a bunch of other things that we probably don't talk about a lot, but they're on our list. You know, we might say things like, I actually just wish I had a better relationship with someone in my family. You know, maybe as a parent, you're going, I wish that my kids and I got along better. Or maybe you're saying, I wish my parents and I got along better. I wish that I was closer to my mom or my dad. Or maybe there's a sibling that you haven't talked to in a long time, and you just wish that that bridge could be crossed somehow. Or for some of us, especially around this time of year, it can be really hard. It can actually be filled with sorrow because we might be saying, actually, there are people that used to be here, and they're not here anymore. And that makes this time of year particularly really difficult because I want them to be here, and this, you know, Christmas is just not the same. And for some of us, we might be saying, actually, if I could just live a more fulfilling life, like I just feel like I do the same thing over and over and over again, and it seems like there's no purpose or meaning to it. And it just, if my life was more fulfilling, I think that I would feel happier. Or for some of us, we might say, actually, to be honest, I just wish I could go through a day without feeling so overwhelmed and so anxious and so stressed out. Like when I come to church and people talk about things like peace and hope and joy, I go, yeah, I wish I could experience that, but I don't understand it. I don't know how to grab a hold of it. And so I think for most of us, there's all sorts of things on our list that aren't just cars and money and better experiences. And unfortunately, we find in life that we can't control our circumstances. Now, we might try, and we might want to, but there's moments when disease comes, or accidents happen, or someone betrays us, and then we find out just how little in control we really are. And in those moments, it's hard to know what to do. And so it's at a time like that that you have to stop and ask yourself an important question. Maybe one of the most important questions that we can ask as Americans. Because see, we're taught to pursue happiness. That it would actually be a right of an American. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, right? So we're taught this is something we do. So we do. We pursue it. We try to find it in all these different things. But in a moment like that, we have to ask ourselves the question. Am I trying to allow circumstances to be the source of my joy? Or am I going to let God himself be the source of my joy? Now that might sound like a really just churchy question to ask ourselves, but it's really important. And here's why. If our joy is only found in our circumstances, then when our circumstances are not good, then we can't experience joy. If our circumstances are bad, then we can't be happy in life if we're finding our joy in our circumstances. And when life is good, well then, yeah, then we can be happy, then we can be good. Everything's great. But if our joy is found in God alone, if our joy is found in Him as the source of the joy that runs through us, well then, that joy is eternal. And there's nothing that can get in the way of that. There's nothing that can stop that because it comes from God Himself. And this is really important, and here's why. Because if the joy comes from our circumstances, then our circumstance dictates the level of joy in our life. But if our joy comes from God, then our circumstances can actually be bad. We can be experiencing sorrow and difficulty and pain and yet still have joy at the same time. I like how the Apostle Paul says it. He says it like this in 2 Corinthians. We're sorrowful, yet we're always rejoicing. We're poor, yet we're making many rich. We're having nothing, and yet we're possessing everything. Did you catch what he said there? We're sorrowful, yet we're always rejoicing. Not sometimes, not most of the time, but always rejoicing. And so Paul is saying there's this paradoxical truth that when our joy is found in God's presence, that sorrow and joy can actually coexist in our lives. That those two things can be true at the same time. And that might be a difficult truth to grab a hold of. But when we get this, it starts to become more clear. I mean, can you imagine a life where no matter what happens to you, no matter what anybody does to you, that you can be joyful? Can you imagine a life where circumstances cannot rob you of your joy? Like, could you imagine a life like that? It's the kind of life that we find in God's presence because we truly believe what His Word has to say, that in His presence there is fullness of joy. And we can't miss this. Because, again, if we're finding our joy in the things of this life, then by definition, that means that someday our joy would all be taken away. Because we can enjoy the things in this life. Paul says to Timothy, hey, the things that God blesses us with, they're meant to be enjoyed. But you can't take it with you. They don't go into the next life with you. And so if our joy is found in the things of this world, in our circumstances here, well then by definition, someday we lose that. But if our joy is found in God, and He's eternal, and He's the one that we're going to spend eternity with, then the joy that we have can never be taken away. And actually, someday it'll only be bigger. It'll only be better. But as I said, as Americans, we pursue happiness. We go after our list of things. And I'm afraid that there's some people who they just die trying to fill their list. They're trying to get it all done. And they're pursuing it with everything they've got, and they're wondering why it's not adding up, why it's not working. So I have good news for us in here today. Here's the thing. We can actually just ditch the list. We can get rid of it, and here's why. We don't even really need to pursue happiness. We don't need to pursue happiness because God has pursued us with His joy. We don't need to pursue happiness because God has pursued us with His joy. He brought the joy to us. When we were searching for something, He brought it to us. We learned last week that He is God, Emmanuel, God with us. That He actually came to us. He pursued us. He said, I'm going to enter your sorrow and your pain and your difficulties and your story, and I'm going to get right in the middle of it, and I'm going to be with you in the midst of it. And so He brings us His joy. Because He loves us and He cares for us and He wants to be with us. That's where the joy comes from, is that He is with us. He says, I'll be with you till the end of the age. And so we're in His presence at all times. And so we can always know His joy. But it's easier said than done, right? Like it's hard to even know what that would look like. And last September, every year my birthday is in September. And every year, isn't that crazy? It's always the same day. So I always look forward to September. It's a fun month. I love the fall. It's always a really good month for me. So there's a lot of circumstantial things that I look forward to in September. Well, last September, there were sorrows waiting for me that I did not expect. A couple weeks into the month, my sister called me and she said, hey, Mom is not doing well. Like we think this might be it. Now, my mom had been sick for a long time, and there'd be these seasons where she'd go into the hospital, and we'd all have to kind of hold our breaths and go, and we'd go and visit her, and we'd talk to the doctors, but this time they were like, no, we really think it's happening. And so I got to the hospital, and she was lucid for maybe 2 minutes, and, you know, the hours that I was there. And so we were like, okay, we think this might be it. And the next morning, she was gone. And that was hard. And it was hard for all the normal reasons of why it's hard to lose somebody, and especially hard to lose your parent. But there was something on my list in relation to my mom. Her and I were never really that close. We didn't have a great relationship. And so I was always holding out that someday, I'd be able to cross off something on my list that would make me happy, that her and I would have a breakthrough moment, and we would just become closer. Like, I was always holding out for that. I was even praying for it. And so part of the grief that I had to hold in that time was that there was something that I was grieving because it was never going to happen on this side of eternity. There was something that I had to just sit with and go, okay, so that's not happening. And so that was a hard and interesting grief to have to walk with. And as I was walking with that, a man called me from the church I was pastoring down in the Chicago area, and he said, hey, Pastor, my 14-year-old grandson just took his life. And I just remember being on the phone with him and crying with him and just being like, wow, this is about as much as I can take right now. And so I said, God, I need you to be with me. I don't understand this at all. And so I remember going to be with the family, and we're all just crying. And I think at a certain moment, somebody kind of said, Pastor, are you going to say anything? And I said, To be honest, I don't really know what to say, but I'm here to just be with you. And so we talked for a while, and we did pray, and we kind of got there. But at first, I was like, you know what, God, he comes to be with us, and so I'm just going to be with these people in their pain and in their hurt, in this confusion, in this anger. It's just, and so I'm sitting with them, and then, like I said, my birthday was coming up. And so I'm going through all this sorrow and all these difficulties. And the night before my birthday, so we found out that they wanted to do the funeral for this young man on my birthday. And I was like, okay, yeah, that's if that's the day we're doing it, we're going to do it then. And so my wife was like, well, hey, how about the night before your birthday? We do something. Like, let's, so we're both just like, okay, you know, and I'm kind of like sad and a little bit out of it. And I said, fine, let's go. And so we went and saw a movie, and I love seeing movies. This movie was really bad. It was just a bad movie. I was just sitting there the whole time like, really? Like, this is the movie we picked? Like, you know, we went to the theater and a couple of the movies I'd already seen, and so, okay, fine, we'll go to this one. And it was just really bad the whole time. I'm thinking, why are we watching this? And then in the last scene of the movie, there's this moment where there's this mother who's on her deathbed, and she has this moment with her son that's just beautiful. And I was like, okay, that's not even fair. And so I like had to get out of that theater. And my wife is like, oh, okay, let's go. And we went to a nearby park, and I just sat on a bench in that park, and I just wept. I mean, I just wept. And I didn't even care. Like, people were walking by like, okay, let's go the other way, kids. And I was just, but I was like, you know what? I am full of so much sorrow right now. So much grief is happening inside of me and all around me. And yet in that moment, as much as God was just allowing me to experience that grief, I became aware that I had a God who loved me so much that he would use this bad movie to reach me and say, look, it's okay. Just feel it. Just let it go. And so in that moment, I was experiencing incredible sorrow. And I was also experiencing incredible joy because I knew I had a God who was with me on that park bench. My wife was sat here, and I knew that God was right here. So I had this God who would be willing to be with me in that. And I was just filled with his joy and his presence. I was just filled with it. And it was like inexplainable. The Bible says that we have a joy that's unspeakable. And I was experiencing that right then and there because I had a God who has chosen to be with me. I had a God who chose to come and pursue me with his joy. And so I was able to go to the memorial for this young man the next day, and though I was still filled with so much sorrow for what was happening, I was able to be a presence of joy to this family that they needed. And that was because God had filled me with himself. I had been in his presence. So God came to be with us. That's where the joy comes from. He came to be with us. As John says in the book of Revelation, I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people. He will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. And he will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. Now, we've read this passage two times during the series already. We read it last week and the week before, and here's why. It is so important as people of the Advent, as people who are waiting for our King to return, that we don't lose the vision of what will happen on that day. That there will come a day where Jesus will come and he will wipe away every tear from our eyes. And there will be no more mourning. There will be no more pain. And all we will know is his joy. All we will know is his joy. We won't know sadness any longer. Yeah, amen. But until that day, we don't have to hold on to this idea that someday we can experience joy and that we base it on the circumstances of our lives. No. We're being invited into something much deeper. We're being invited into this reality that right now we can experience his joy. No matter what our circumstances, no matter what we are going through,
We can experience God's joy right here, right now. And the beauty of it is that all we have to do is respond. You know, the shepherds, they experienced God's joy when they went to Jesus. They had to come to Jesus to experience his joy. And when they came to Jesus, they experienced that joy because they were in his presence. So all we have to do is come to Jesus. And here's the beautiful part. He already came to us. Paul said to the men of Athens, when you go searching for God, you don't have to look far. If you just reach out, you'll find he's right there. He is already closer than you think. So when you go, okay, Jesus, I'll come to you. He's like, all right, I'm right here. I've been waiting for you. And so all we have to do is respond, much like the shepherds did. And so will you respond today? Like, I don't know where you're at this morning. As you've walked into this place, maybe you are filled with sorrow in this season. Maybe you're in a place in life that's just hard right now. And you're going, I don't see the other end of this. I don't see how this works. But you have a God who's willing to be with you in the middle of that and to walk through it with you together, that you would experience his joy and his love in the midst of that. Some of you, maybe you're saying, you know what? I've been pursuing that list hard. I've been going after it for a long time, trying to get everything on that list, and I'm burning out. I have no energy left, but this was the only thing that I thought life was about, and so I've been pursuing it and chasing it, and I am so tired. I am so exhausted. It's failed me so many times, and I don't know what else to do. And yet God is willing to allow you to experience his joy right now, no matter where you're at in life. There's not another thing you have to go get to experience joy, but that you can find contentment in your circumstances right where they're at. And that God can meet you in that with his joy. So I don't know where you are this morning, but my hope would be that you would come to him, because he's a God who loves us. And he loves us so much that he was willing to pursue us with his joy so that we could experience his presence and know this joy that doesn't even make sense. And that no matter what circumstance we're going through in life, that it's a joy that follows us and stays with us and can't be taken away. And so may you experience that kind of joy this season. Even now, may you experience that joy. May you become aware of his presence. May you know that he is with you, even now. And may you know that this joy, that it is for you, and that it's extended to you, and that there's an invitation to you. And may you receive it. May you be filled with gratitude and thankfulness and contentment with what this joy brings into your life. And may you know this unspeakable joy that you can't understand, but that you can experience. And may it stay with you no matter what you go through, and that you remember that you have a God who is with you. Would you pray with me? Father, we come before you so thankful. God, I thank you that you are a God who chose to be with us. You didn't look at us and say, no, not good enough. No, you looked at us and said, I want to be with them. And I'm willing to go through all things. I'm willing to go through hell and back so that these people can know that I love them and that I want to be with them and I want to dwell with them forever. So God, we thank you for that truth and that reality. And we thank you that as people of the Advent, the people who are waiting for your return, that we know that your presence is with us even now. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for coming to fill us and to be with us and to help us know that you are near. And Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters, I pray for my friends in here today, that we would know your love, that we would know this joy that's unspeakable, that we would know that you are with us. And God, I don't know the circumstances that we're all facing in here today, but you do. And God, I pray that we would be able to see how you're meeting us right now in the midst of those circumstances. And God, may it fill us not just with joy, but also with hope. God, may it fill us with the love that you bring. And we're so thankful that you're our King, that you chose us to be a part of your family and your kingdom. And God, may we receive that and may we come to you this morning.
We pray this all in your name, Jesus. Amen.